Hello and welcome back to Ola Bonjour Konnichiwa, the podcast with myself Lorna and herself Audrey. How are you?
Hey, hey, all good.
Good. How was your week?
You're grand, bloody busy. Actually, I was in Belfast. I went up to Belfast for awards, just trade awards on Friday.
Oh
And
yeah,
I don't know.
I saw your pictures on Instagram. That dress was stunning.
Loads of people were asking me where the dress is from. So the dress is just from Quiz. Like, it wasn't expensive. And people were asking me about sizing. So I bought three things from Quiz there last week, got them all on the sale. I bought a green dress. I bought like a blush pink dress, and I bought a jumpsuit. And they were sizes 14, 16 and 18 respectively. And they all fit. So don't be minding the sizes. Take them with a grain of salt, because all 14, 16 and 18 bit grand, but all from Quiz. So go have a look, because I will recommend. They often do, especially when you, if you have a load of awards to do with work and stuff, they're not dear. Like, I got one of the dresses was about 50-60 quid. Like, that one I think was reduced there to 70 during the week, the one that I wore, 79. And I got a jumpsuit for like 25 quid. That was reduced
there.
That's
brilliant, isn't it?
So I mean, just have a little nosy on Quiz.
Yeah. And how are you getting on back at Body Slims? I saw you were doing an obstacle course there around the playground.
I'm not as committed this time around, which is no reflection on Body Slims. It's actually just a reflection on what's going on in my life at the moment, which is just mayhem. When I joined Body Slims initially, I joined in April, which was the perfect time for me. The days were a bit brighter, it was a bit warmer.
See, that makes a huge difference, doesn't it? And the weather and everything,
It does. And this time around, I've been to loads of trade events. I've been off busy with work or even with birthdays and celebrations at home. I'd say if I'm even given a 50% welly this time around, that's probably being generous. I'm not as fully committed, but I am still doing where I can. Yeah. And I just don't think I'll be telling you, oh, I lost another stone and a half. I think, you know, there's a little bit of weight coming off. It's a bit slower. But as I said, no reflection on the program. I'm not giving it 100%. I'm probably dipping the toe in and out of the water, like picking it up. Today, I was at an offsite thing all day today. I wasn't prepared. I didn't bring stuff with me. I bought a prepackaged sandwich off the shelf. I never would have done that the first time around. So there's an element of kind of I'm not giving it 100%.
But that's all right
how
as
you getting
well.
on?
I'm kind of the same. Do you know what now? Like the last, like I feel the last couple of weeks I'm kind of slowing down. I'm stalling a bit, like. And again, it's, I think, like last week I was up. No, it was 0.4 of a pound, right? It was nothing. It's a fart, right? But I suppose, like he was saying to me, you know, were you weighing your food and stuff? And I was like, no. And I was like, am I getting a little bit cocky? Do you know what I mean? I'm a bit like, oh, sure, I know exactly how much. And he actually shocked me because he was like, you know, milking your cereal. Sure, I wasn't cutting that at all. And then I was like, what? And he's like, but if I was having that over 5 mornings, I was like, oh, right, yeah. So I'm trying again, but I find like it's since I stopped doing the walks, that's when I really kind of started going down. I was in such a great routine going out for the walks. The weather, as you know, is shocking. There's like an orange morning again. The mornings are pitch dark. It's so hard, like, to one, get yourself up out of the bed, to go for a walk at that hour of the morning before work. Do you know what I mean? It's a tough old slog, like.
Oh, you're hugging the duvet. It's hard. And you know it's miserable outside as well. Yeah. I was amazed. I went to one of the days where it was like hazy rain. I did it and I was actually delighted with myself afterwards. But I can't believe I even did it. Like, I'm
but
a princess, you know.
You feel great after it. You feel so good after it. Yeah. But it's just the thought of doing it. And I'm not wary going out in the dark, like, because I'm literally just walking around, you know, the estates here, like, so. But still, I wouldn't be 100% keen on it. Then again, I'm sure I said this on last week's podcast as well. I have a treadmill upstairs. I could just use that, but I'm like,
I know.
So I'm kind of making excuses a bit now. But look, same as you, we just get into our own little rhythm now and get going again and see how we get on. But anyway, in other news, right, we have a couple of gobshites now to have a chat about this week.
We do.
So the first gobshite that I wanted to bring up, right, was Jada Pinkett Smith. What is your one on here, right? So if you don't know, Jada Pinkett Smith is releasing a new book, her autobiography called Worthy. Jada Pinkett Smith is married to Will Smith. Will Smith is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who was kind of cancelled after he went up and gave Chris Rock a wallop at the Oscars, wasn't it? Because he made a joke about his wife, Jada, and Will Smith made a holy show of himself and gave your man a wallop. So Jada comes out. Grand. That was, how long ago was that? A year ago, if not more?
Well, you see, off the back of that, when that happened, everybody started to dissect their relationship. Now, there was always rumours floating around about them, but they weren't really mainstream rumours. And then when that happened, everybody was like, well, I heard, you know, that she cheated on him, and I heard they have an open relationship, and I heard, you know, she humiliated him by sleeping with her son's friend for months, apparently. And that chap has even come out to verify that this is correct. And then it was said, well, she didn't really cheat on Will because they have an open relationship. But all I know is, what happened at the Oscars that night opened up a whole can of worms for everybody just to, like, really, throw some light on their kind of private lives.
And at that, at the awards, right, when Chris Rock made the joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, right, the look Jada gave to Will was a look like the way I'd give my husband, have to go, you better deal with that there now. You know, she gave the look that a wife gives to a husband, right? So he went up to whatever. Then it turns out Jada's doing interviews now, and she announced that they've been separated since 2016. For 7 years or something, isn't it? Or whatever.
But no, I don't think anybody told Will. I don't think he knew that. I think he only found out yesterday as well.
I genuinely don't either as well, right? Because she comes out then with all this crap that they were never in a marriage. They were in, It wasn't... It's not a marriage. It was like a life partnership. That's what she calls it. So they're not in a marriage, but they're in a life partnership. And what I found strange listening to her interviews. So they've lived separately. She moved out. He went off to do his own thing. She went off to do her own thing. In this time, apparently she had the affair with her
son. Wasn't an affair now.
It wasn't an affair. And apparently this fella... August Alsina, right, apparently he spoke to Will Smith approved, they had a conversation with it, and due to them going through their transformation from a marriage to a life partnership, that Will was okay with it. So she doesn't call it a marriage, she calls it their life partnership. But what I found strange was that they were saying, so, you know, are you getting divorced, was there ever talk of divorce? And they were like, no, they're in a life partnership, so there'll never be another great love or anything like that. They're in their life partnership. So everyone thought, by the interviews she's given, everyone thought they were separated. They're all doing their own thing. And then today she comes out to doing another interview and was chatting away, and someone said, you know, so is there any chance of you reconciling? She's like, oh, but we are working hard on our relationship. She's like, I'm not so sure where things got mixed up. Like, we're working really hard on not our marriage, but our life partnership. And we're working really hard to be together again. And she was like, oh, so you mean like as a family living under one roof? And she was like, yes. So I'm totally confused because a couple of days ago, the impression we all got was that they were separated and living separate lives. And today now she's come out and being, and I'm just going, you know what? This one totally like just looking for publicity for her book. And apparently she's like one of the most hated people in Hollywood. And I think she's taking poor Will Smith for a ride, and his career has been Ben Jackson all over her. And he did seem like such a lovely fella. But unfortunately, the damage done by what he did at the Oscars to Chris Rock was too much altogether. But your one seems to be hamming this up, like. And then coming out and saying that Tupac was her soulmate, the love of her life.
I was just going to say that as well. Yeah. Could you imagine being married to somebody and hearing them say something like that? And as well, I think she has Will over years just chipping away at him. I think she has him in an absolute heap. I think that man is a broken man. I think he's humiliated. Yeah. She has absolutely humiliated him on the main screen time and time again. Like, she's made an absolute show of him. I don't think he knows if he's coming or going. It's crazy, like, to look at this handsome, talented actor, movie star, singer, all these accolades that he has for his name, but obviously behind closed doors she has him in a heap that he doesn't know what end of him is up. Like, I mean, she's really done a number on him. So I don't know. She's not a very nice person.
No, I think she's an absolute spoofer trying to sell her book, and I'm like, does she need the money or what?
Any of them?
But that's
need
it.
The money.
But you'd wonder, like, why would she do this to him? Like, after everything, knowing that his career is basically in the toilet now since what happened, and this is really just like making him worse.
It feels like this is how she gets her kicks. Like, it actually feels like she enjoys this. She gets pleasure from it. Like,
yeah. It does, and I think she's loving the attention, and she's so, even the way she's expressing it, like they came out now this morning and said, oh, Will gave his reaction to all this, and but to be honest, the statement Will Smith put out, it did sound like he kind of was a bit like, I haven't a clue what's going on, like, type thing. And she was like, yeah, it's really beautiful the way that, you know, I suppose he didn't get me and I didn't get him, and now we're working together. She's a fluke, like, she's an absolute fluke.
Yeah, yeah. So. But I think my nephew was telling me, because I'm not as up to speed on Will and Jada as I am with some of my other celebrities, but he was telling me that their son tried to literally divorce them as parents. Like, their son tried to...
Really?
Oh, yeah, that they're fucking mental, like, that it's not a good home. I can't imagine it would be. How could it be a happy, know, healthy, like, home?
And your mom going off with your friend, like... Do you know what, yeah, I mean? That's strange. Like, but didn't she even have her? She had her show, that Red Table Talks or something, and literally that's brought, right, Will Smith onto it, brought up about her having the affair or the open relationship, and his face on that interview, he was gutted. Like, and I remember watching that, going, "Oh my God, poor Will Smith!" Like, and now she's
how
saying,
"How could you do that?"
But now she's saying, "But see, it all makes sense now. When you look back on it, you'll realize that they were separated. But then why not say it?" Why not say it back in 2016 that you're getting separated? Like, I don't think they ever were. I think she's just looking for publicity.
Cruel.
She's not relevant, like, anymore.
No, and she's a very cruel, cruel woman to do them things. That's, yeah, someone you're supposed to care about. Like, they're just very,
but I
very
don't think
cruel.
She'll ever let him go either. The fact that she came out today now again and was blown on about this, like, what a load of cod, like, this life partnership. Like, you either want to be with him or you don't. There's none of this. Oh, you know, you're never going to have another great love or anything because we're in this partnership together. She made a promise never to get divorced, so she's not going to get divorced. So you're just
nonsense. What? Why does that leave him?
Like, yeah,
yeah. You'd need someone nearly to come in and have an intervention and, yeah, get him away from her. Yeah. And like, because she has been in his ear for so many years now that I don't think he knows. In his brain, she's worn him down to the point where he thinks he can't be without her. He doesn't realize there's a whole life out there. Like, yeah, there's so many people that are in abusive relationships, even though they know what's happening, it's wrong and it's cruel, they can't see a way out. They can't see a life without that person. He's no different. The only thing that's confusing all of us is that it's a man and a woman, and they're in the roles that are reversed to what we're used to reading about. Mm. But it's just as cruel and it's just as evil. And he needs help. Like, yeah.
I don't know. And come here, what about old Holly Willoughby? Since we were last on, we discovered that she's left this morning. So she's gone from this morning, which last week I was saying, you know, if what happened to her and the kidnap plot and everything. And I said, would you not go as a mother? Would you not go, right, thanks very much, showbiz, that's me done. I've my money made. I'm gone. This is too close to home altogether, this scare. And step away from the limelight, which is what I thought she did. But now apparently they're saying that it's just this morning she's gone from that she might still be coming back to do Dancing on Ice. Which
well,
is
like
bit...
I said, she's only worried about being kidnapped and murdered between the hours of 6 and 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's when that guy, Gavin Plum, was going to drag his 45 stone out of the bed. He was going to go murder her early doors. He's an early riser, early bird.
Yep.
He was just going to kill her before 10 a.m. But after 10 a.m., she's grand.
Yeah.
They don't plot to kidnap and murder people after 10 a.m. So she's actually fine to do whatever she likes after that time.
Mm.
It's nonsense. I don't know why they did this, because I still don't believe an ounce of it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't even make sense to retire from that particular show after 14 years if you're in fear for your life, but not retire from show business and
exactly.
TV. Like,
it
just doesn't make sense. So I'm not sure what angle they're going.
Yeah. I just assumed that she was done altogether with showbiz. Then when I heard this, I was like, ah, surely. Like, so now I'm kind of coming around to the thinking that maybe you're not wrong in the way you were
on
thinking.
On this one, no, I think I'm right. I really do think I'm right on this one. Like,
and I haven't heard any more about Gavin Plum. Wasn't he supposed to be up in court again? I haven't heard anything of you.
No, and that'll go quiet now. All she needed was the exit strategy out of.
Mm.
And then did you hear my favourite rumour of the week? I know it's only nonsense, but it was gas. There was a rumour going around during the week that they were going to replace the this morning presenters were going to be Maura Higgins and Ryan Tuberty.
Stop. That wasn't, obviously that's not true, was it?
Well,
do you know what? They'd actually be very good though.
I'm telling you now,
I would
be glued to it. But I mean, I can't imagine they'd have two Irish presenters of that show.
No.
Like, and whatever, actually, funny enough, Maura Higgins would actually have more TV presence in the UK than Ryan Tuberty, like, yeah. Because she was on Love Island, they know who she is. So ironically, she would kind of be easing Ryan into that role. But yeah. I don't believe it. I'd love if it was true.
It would be good though, wouldn't it? Their ratings would definitely go up, instead of all of Ireland watching as well, like.
I actually would tune in to see the two of them present that show. And I think it would be very funny. Like, Maura's a gas character. Ryan, it would almost be kind of humorous for us to see Ryan in that role. So yeah. I don't believe it's true, though. I would love if it was, but I don't think so. I think just...
I'd say it's going to be Dermot now and Alison Hammond, I'd say. Probably for the...
For a while, but they're not enough. Just like, I have to be honest, I've given it a few weeks now. I don't think Patrick Keelty's going to stay in the Late Late Show. I think... I think Dermot, Alison and Patrick Keelty all have one thing in common, which is that they're all very lovable, likeable characters. But I don't necessarily think that they have what it takes to hold down a primetime show like those shows. So I think Patrick Keelty is lovely. I'd say he'll do a year, and I think they'll have somebody else in. The other two, Alison and
Dermot,
and I love Dermot O'Leary, but no, they're just placeholders. I think they'll hold that place, and either they'll scrap the show or they'll introduce someone. Somebody with a bit of gumption. Like, it's already kind of been rumored that Patrick has shied away from having difficult conversations and difficult interviews. He is a lovely man, and he is a comedian, and he's very likable. But I don't know if he has it in him to be a bit of a dick. And I think you have to be a little bit of a dick to take on the challenging topics and interviews. So I think he'll do 12 months. I'd say that's what the contract might be, and then he'll be gone.
Oh yeah, I don't think he's as popular as I thought he was going to be at all. So I know we have one other person now that you're really want to talk about, and you've been very passionate about this, and this was
speaking of absolute dicks, Tony Houlihan. I did a little bit of homework on this. So Tony Houlihan popped up on my timeline twice too often. He popped up twice, and it was twice too often this week. Yeah. Tony Houlihan, William Gerard Anthony Houlihan, born in Dublin, raised in Limerick. You can have him, Limerick. We don't want him. Chief Medical Officer. He was best known for his work during the cervical check scandal, 2018, and also very well known for his work during the COVID-19 pandemic.
He was almost sainted during COVID, wasn't he? A lot of people had him up on a pedestal as like Saint Tony.
They did. That really bothered me at the time because I think we've referenced it a few times here, but I was touched by cervical check. And I say touched by cervical check because obviously it didn't affect me anywhere close to how it affected the likes of Vicky Phelan, Lindsay Bennett, Emma Nick Nahuna, all of these fantastic women. I mean, I got a whisper of cervical check. Okay, so just a little bit on his history. He met his wife in college. They were college sweethearts when he was at medical school, and they met married, and they went on to have two children. He announced in July 2020 that his wife had gone into palliative care, so she was desperately unwell. In June 2021, he received an honorary fellowship from the RCSI for his outstanding leadership and contribution during the COVID-19 pandemic, which is what you referenced there. As I said, this did annoy me because I wasn't such a big fan of Tony's throughout the cervical check scandal, and we'll get into that now in a moment. In March 2022, this is a man that I think is actually steeped in scandal, and I don't know how he still manages to hold the head high, to be honest with you. So in March 2022, he stepped down as CMO to take up the role of Professor of Public Health and Safety, Public Health Safety and Leadership at Trinity College. So he at that time, it was his intention to remain on as a civil servant with the Department of Health, which would have seen him receive a salary of €187,000 that he was getting as a civil servant, on top of his six-figure Trinity College salary, which, by the way, was €30,000 per annum more than any other staff member at Trinity College. Mm-hmm. Because when is enough enough, Lorna? Yeah. When we talk about all of these people that we talk about, when is enough enough? When have you got enough money? When is enough enough? But no. Look, the man's wife, she passed away in February 2021, which was, of course, desperately sad time. He wrote a book. The book came out a couple of weeks ago, actually, 23rd of September. And in his PR interviews around the book, he happened to share that his wife told him that she would like for him to move on and meet someone nice. I'm sure she did. And would you know, only earlier on this week, he came out of the closet when Facebook official with his brand new partner. And he tells us, of course, that everybody loves her and she is more than welcomed into the family by his children. And so I'm sure she is. I'm sure she is. And I'm sure the wife did say that she would like him to move. And anyway, moving on, moving on. Okay. Recently.
Yeah, you could, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. Go on.
I'm sure he is. I will also add that in 2019, in the peak of cervical check scandal, somebody at the bloody door, in the peak of the cervical check scandal, amongst other things, he wrote some very heavy-handed and intimidating letters in a bid to silence Lorraine Walsh. Now, Lorraine Walsh actually follows me on Instagram. How are you, Lorraine? I follow her back. Lorraine was a member of the Cervical Check Steering Committee and a cervical check survivor herself. And she had posted some comments about Tony Houlihan on Twitter, which he took great offence to. And he sent her some very heavy-handed letters in an attempt to silence her and intimidate her. And he accused her of making defamatory and untrue statements on her Twitter account. Lorraine, however, stood by every word that she said on Twitter and refused to take anything down. So yet another strong woman to add to the list of incredibly strong women. There's a documentary that just came out there, and it's the Meaning of Life documentary. And in this particular interview, in this particular episode, Tony Houlihan was interviewed. Now, Vicky Phelan's solicitor, Keane O'Carroll, was allowed to preview the show before it actually went to air. And on viewing the documentary, it's absolutely mental. Yeah. My term, not his. He had to actually write to RTE and have them remove Tony Houlihan's comments from the documentary, because in the documentary, this is a direct quote, Tony Houlihan stated that with regard to cervical check scandal, there was no delayed diagnosis and there was no misdiagnosis.
And he actually said that, didn't he? Like,
he said that word for word, and that was ready to go out on air as part of this documentary. And Keane O'Carroll said that Tony Houlihan had delivered gross untruths and was attempting to basically pull the wool over the viewer's eyes in making such statements. And if ever there needed to be any proof, as if we didn't know already that what Tony Houlihan said there was a lie, he only had to point towards the rulings of the Supreme Courts and the High Courts in cases such as Vicky Phelan, Ruth Morrissey, whereby the courts had obviously ruled in their favour that there was an issue around misdiagnosis and delayed diagnosis, which saw an unnecessary loss of life. So this is Tony Houlihan, the man of the hour, the man that we gave the freedom of the city to. A man, as you rightly said, was hailed a hero for handing up the COVID-19 pandemic. Ironically, now with the benefit of hindsight, there's a lot of people that look back on how the COVID-19 pandemic actually was handled and would argue that it wasn't handled appropriately at all, and that there was an awful lot of heavy-handed measures taken were unnecessary.
Yeah,
but we put this fellow up on a platform. We hailed him a hero. We gave him the keys to the city. We were enabling him there for a time. No one initially raised an issue with him receiving €187,000 civil servant salary on top of a Trinity College six-figure salary. Mm. Nobody did. It was the public that, on getting wind of it, the public had to kick off and had to say, hey, hey, hey. But this man, he didn't see that there was anything wrong with that. He didn't make that judgment for himself. He bowed to the peer pressure that was piled on top of him by the general public. But he thought that this was okay. He thought it was okay to say in an interview, despite the amount of women that have died unnecessarily or have suffered life-changing operations and procedures as a result of the very thing he says didn't happen, which was delayed diagnosis and misdiagnosis. He thought it was okay to say that. It shows no regard for the people that have been affected, for the families that have been affected. That's what I had to say today. I don't know. I just had to get that off my chest. But this man has...
He's something else. Now, have you seen the documentary? Has that aired yet?
It came out on Sunday.
I need to watch it because I'd be interested now to see if they actually challenged him on anything he said. Because as you said there, like, he was hailed a hero during COVID. And during his handling of the whole COVID situation, cervical check was kind of like, you know, forget about that now, don't be talking about that. There was a couple of, I know at the time during COVID now, there were a couple of groups, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, the Women's Lives Matter and things like that, and they kept on top of it. But again, it never kind of reached
it never got big
during COVID. Yeah.
I used to be kind of with that group, and I would have stuck with it. And I do remember on occasions whereby he was being held a hero on Twitter and what have you, and I would have gone in on it, and comments were picked up all right and shared, but it never got that mainstream media attention, which is very frustrating. And when you're kind of saying, this is where we need social media. Social media can be a very toxic place, but if we didn't have social media, we wouldn't have a voice at all.
Yeah.
And the mainstream media can literally deliver whatever message it is, whatever agenda it is, whatever kind of slant they want to put on something, that would be completely unchallenged. So although there is a toxic side to social media, I do remember at that time, those movements and the movements, those women that were in those groups, they would never have had a voice if it were not for social media. So the fact that the mainstream media refused time and time again to kind of pick up on it is unbelievable. And the fact that RTE attempted to deliver an unchallenged comment like that in a documentary is astounding.
That's the thing. If Vicky Phelan's solicitor didn't go to view that, it would just have come out, and what, we'd all just go, oh my God, did you hear what he said? And then again, forgotten about. Because as you said, the mainstream media, RTE, aren't going to pick up something that they aired themselves and being like, oh, sorry, we shouldn't have done this. Like, but I'd be very interested now, if anyone has watched it, maybe get in touch with us. But I'm going to watch it myself anyway and see, has he been challenged on anything, or has he, which I assume he's probably come out of it looking like a great man altogether, which is completely wrong.
I'm only glad, I presume Keane O'Carroll has some contacts in the media industry, because I was only glad to see the coverage that his challenge got, because you weren't even guaranteed that it would have picked up that challenge. So I'm glad that he seems to have a few contacts out there, because otherwise we'd have been none the wiser. The documentary would have just come out on Sunday. We never would have known that those comments were meant to be originally included. We wouldn't have known this.
Yeah.
I don't understand how the man can hold his head up high, and he's a law unto himself.
There's a lot of, in this country though, there seems to be scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal, and they're all forgotten about. They happen.
We very short memories. Yeah,
very, very, very short memories.
And even when he was being, if you think Semical Czech scandal was 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, your man's a hero. So hold on. How did that happen? How quickly we decided to forget, and then we looked upon him as though he was God's gift. There was people with high profiles on social media that had pictures and posters of them on their wall and literally hailing him a hero every day on their social media platforms. It sickens my hole, and it really does. It's disgusting. Enlighten yourself and inform yourself and educate yourself. Like, don't make heroes out of people because of the 5 minutes of glory that they're getting when they're delivering the stats, you know. So
but anyway, those same people then, Audrey, would have been the people so heartbroken over Vicky Phelan at the same time. Do you know what I mean? So there's a whole lot of double standards as well in this country as well. Like, whole lot of double standards. And I think, I don't know what happens with everything. Cervical check scandal. Years ago, there was a hepatitis C scandal as well. Just happened, forgotten about. There's, oh my God, there's so many things. Like, the way our healthcare system is a complete shambles. It's just, oh, we just get on with it. Autism services, oh, sure. Ooh, just get on with it. Nothing seems to be done in this country. But he would, as you said, with the correct word, sick in your hole for you, he would make you sick.
Yeah.
Because do you know what? The fact that he's still now
revered and still being held in such high regard. Yeah.
Whereas he should still be firmly attached to the cervical check scandal, firmly attached to it, not idolized and be like, isn't he a great man? Asher, God help us now, and his wife passed away, and isn't it great now he's settled? Which it is. I'm not saying nothing about that. God, go away and be happy and all that. That's your own business, like. But I don't know. He's like, if it was me, you would no more be making a documentary. You'd be hanging your head in shame, like, for the way it happened. But that's this country for you again, like. But I'm glad you brought it up, because I think it needs to be brought up, and a lot of people now might disagree with us as well and say, you know, that he was a great man during COVID and all, which, you know,
that's all right. That's, they can say belief, what they
that's
like.
Your belief, yeah. Like, but you know,
you're wrong. Like,
you can say what you want, but you're wrong. But that's our choice. So, now I know we've been talking now a lot about an awful lot of gold bags in this episode. But you know who's not gold bags, Audrey?
Who's not a gold?
You and me. You and
you.
Yeah. So this is the last week, right? And here we are now, the two Beggy Mitchells, right? The Irish Podcast Awards. The listener's choice category is open until the 19th of October, which is Wednesday. So it's open until Wednesday.
Stop. Okay. Lorna, do this for the listeners the way you watch this thing on TikTok. You know you want? If you're seeing this on or before October 19th, you're meant to hear this message.
This message is for you. Go vote. Go vote. Well, we would really appreciate it, right? So if you could go over to the Irish Podcast Awards, vote for hola, comma, bonjour, konnichiwa, and we'll pop up there and just give us a vote. You just have to pop in your email address and confirm your vote. We would absolutely love it because it is the listener's choice award. It's ye that's voting for us, and it would mean we don't expect to win it, but even just to get into, like, you know, whatever, if there
was a short list would be amazing. Yeah.
Unbelievable. The fact that we are doing all this podcast, we started this in March, I think. We're doing it ourselves. We have no funding. We are two broke assholes just trying to make it in the world. And we're trying our best. And people seem to like the podcast. So far, so good. We're getting good enough feedback. And we haven't gotten any bad feedback or anything. So we'll all get a load of feedback now here.
I actually delete all the comments.
Did you? Oh, thanks. I love how you shield me. Thank you. But so if you could, we'd really, really appreciate it. And this is the last time I'm going to be annoying you about this because the votes are closed on Wednesday. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, follow me on Instagram, Lorsey Love You, where I will be bugging you over there for the next few days.
No, they're closing on Thursday 19th.
Oh, Thursday the 19th, is it? That's right, Jack, because today is Tuesday. I thought today was Monday. Tell you, I don't know. I don't know. Me arse from the elbow this week. So that's it. We'd really love it. Can you imagine if we won at the lottery? Wouldn't we be weak for ourselves?
Oh, we would. Yeah,
I'd be putting my bio on Instagram. 2023.
I reckon you should be getting the key to Cork City. I should be getting the key to Dublin City, and then we'll have a big party. We'll let it out for you.
Oh, I'm telling you, I did say that though last week that on the off chance we do win, I think we should do something.
I agree.
We should do something. I've
loads of dresses now, so I'm well sorted.
There you go. I'm going in my pajamas, but whatever. So that's it. So we're bang on time there now. So let us know what you think. If you could go over, give us a vote, that'd be great. And you can, as always, get in contact with us at olathepodcast@gmail.com or on our social media, olathepodcast. And listen, give us some feedback as well. Let us know what you think of the podcast, what you'd like us to talk about. I know a lot of people have gotten on to me as well about weddings. I think it's because we both got married abroad. Yeah. And I think we spoke about this before in the podcast, but I got a couple of messages saying that, you know, the benefits of, well, getting married here, I wouldn't know about, like, here and abroad. Well, one thing is the money, way cheaper. So, we might go into that as well.
I didn't. I spent a fortune on my wedding abroad because I was that idiot that Jerome just kept saying, Marcel, I know you listen to you listen to the podcast all the time. Our wedding planner actually listens to the podcast, but she literally opened that book for me and she'd be saying, would you like drummers? Yes. Would you like fireworks? Yes. Would you like open bar? Yes. Like, I just signed up to everything.
Yeah. But Audrey, so the fact that we could get fireworks and everything, though.
Well, that's true.
You wouldn't be getting that over here. Like, do you know what
I mean? Well, you would now if you go up to Ballymun and you get yourself a long fireworks. They're going off here since August.
Are you serious?
Every time I open the window, it sounds like there's gunshots going off. Like, it's like from about August until November, this place is fireworks city. Like,
stop.
I went up the north there. I says, anybody want that? And my nephew was like, yeah, fireworks. I was like, yeah, forget it. I'm not going to ask him for fireworks.
Were you up there for long?
I was just up there Friday and Saturday, but God, not a plug because I didn't pay. But the hotel I stayed in, if anybody's looking for a hotel up there, Slieve Donard Hotel. Oh my God, it was the nicest hotel I've stayed in years.
I liked the room. You showed the room on Instagram. The room was gorgeous. Gorgeous, wasn't it?
And the staff were amazing. The room was fantastic. Like, the views when you come outside were spectacular. Like, but I think it's pricey. So I'm glad I got to stay there for free.
All right, come here. We're going to head off and we will be back again with you next week. Bye.
Okay, cool. Bye.